Hi, I'm a DJ and I'm here to tell you that this year's Christmas number one is Christmas Time, Ding-a-ling-a-ling by Christopher Beanland. Take it away. Christmas time, ding-a-ling-a-ling, it's Christmas time, ding-a-ling-a-ling. Christmas time, ding-a-ling-a-ling, it's Christmas time, ding-a-ling-a-ling. Hey there, Sonny, would you like to eat some coal? Yes, my daddy is on the dole. Christmas time, ding-a-ling-a-ling, it's Christmas time, ding-a-ling-a-ling. Hi there, orphan, are you sad? Yes, I am, each Christmas is bad. Christmas time, ding-a-ling-a-ling, it's Christmas time, ding-a-ling-a-ling. Okay, Grandma, you've got gout. Why don't you try and eat a sprout? Christmas time, ding-a-ling-a-ling, it's Christmas time, ding-a-ling-a-ling. Christmas time, ding-a-ling-a-ling, it's Christmas time, ding-a-ling-a-ling. Oh, hello. Welcome to Park Date and happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and I hope you're enjoying the day. This is our special Christmas podcast, which, as always, features David Baldwin and me, Christopher Beanland. This year, tragically, we both died, and so I am speaking to you from the grave. I'm not quite sure how I'm managing that, but I am. And it seems to be working perfectly fine. So I hope you'll enjoy our Christmas episode. Do go and enjoy opening your presents, cuddling your loved ones, and eating lots of food, because that's what Christmas is all about. Thank you for listening to Park Date in 2023. Thank you for your reviews, for subscribing, and for following us on socials at Park Date Podcast. You helped us to get two nominations in the UK Independent Podcast Awards for Best Comedy and Best Books Podcast. Thank you to all listeners. Have a great Christmas. Enjoy the episode, and we'll be back next year.
Michael Cumming will have finished by now.
That was on the start of the podcast. in case you're wondering, Mr. Michael Cumming, friend of the podcast, was doing something tonight. Actually, wasn't he? No, let me think about this. He was doing something 2 months ago, because it's the night before Christmas, isn't it?
Oh, that's right, of course.
It's the night before Christmas.
It is, and gosh, what a wintry spell has been cast over this.
There's snow everywhere.
Yeah, can you hear the crunch of the snow?
Snow crunching underfoot. Yeah. Those bangs in the background are not fireworks on bonfire night.
No, it's just gunfire.
The gunfire of Birmingham that you normally hear at Christmas. What was Michael Cumming doing that thing 2 months ago? Was that in the Mockingbird?
That was, and it was a Toast of London event with Arthur Matthews,
yeah.
The acclaimed comedy writer,
mm-hmm.
Like yourself, an acclaimed comedy writer.
Well, acclaim one day, but
future acclaim.
David, there's something we need to tell people. We're actually, you know, in the spirit of a Christmas Carol, not everyone will know that we are actually dead.
We are dead,
and we have risen from the dead. In order to make a posthumous podcast.
And we're in a graveyard.
We're in a graveyard because we've risen from the dead. So this is where we live.
How long did it take us to rise from the dead? How long did it take Jesus?
He took 7 days.
I think we were quicker than that.
Yeah, we took...
So we beat Jesus.
So we are better,
I suppose,
than the Messiah.
Well, I'm not saying we're better than the Messiah. I'm saying in terms of being risen, rising from the dead.
Rising from the dead.
We're better than him at that.
There's one thing we're better at than him, and it is rising from the dead.
Yeah.
Which we've done effectively and in a shorter amount of time.
Absolutely.
But then everything has sped up. You know, we've used technology to rise from the dead. There's a special app you can use now.
Oh, yes, of
course.
Here's
how you can rise from the dead. You just use the app and it brings you back to life.
The Rise app.
Rise. That's what it's called, the Rise app.
Rise,
exactly.
With a Z.
Exactly. If you've died, then you use the app, download the app, and it will bring you back from the dead.
Amazing.
Who are you looking forward to haunting the most?
Who do I have a vendetta against?
Yeah.
Let's have a think. I'm sure there's somebody from my school years. I do hold a grudge.
Mm-hmm.
There would have definitely been some bullying going on there.
Oh, that's sad.
That is sad, but also what we do with sadness is we turn it into comedy. I'll have a think. There's a few. Part of me is tempted to go for Noel Edmonds, but.
Is he dead?
No, we're going to haunt him.
Oh, right, sorry.
We're the dead ones, Chris.
Sorry, yes. Of course, we're haunting the living.
We're
haunting
the
dead.
Living, yeah.
Sorry, Noel Edmonds, for that accusation. Why would you haunt Noel Edmonds? Apart from, because Noel's house party was quite poor. Though Teleaddicts was good.
It was. I work at the Midlands Arts Centre, and we hosted a screening of a documentary once, which was, I don't know if you remember, but Noel Edmonds was involved in a bit of a scandal, it's a banking scandal. Mm. He got screwed over, and he was meant to come and do a Q&A, so yeah. I promoted it as a Q&A, big whole thing, and he came, and he did a 5-minute intro, and then fucked off. So
he actually came?
He did.
Was he weird?
But that's, he was okay, his beard was a bit strange, but
yeah.
But no, I was more annoyed that, it was very strange. He came all that way for 5 minutes. You could have stayed for a Q&A.
Why did he not stay?
I don't know.
No, that's bizarre. That's bizarre. The clanking you can hear in the background is the shackles and chains attached to David's ankles. Because, of course, as a ghost, you have those things like kind of chains attached to you. That's the noise you can hear in the background.
Do the chains represent sins?
Yes.
Okay.
They do.
There's a lot. Yes. Especially on you.
That's why it's noise. There's no noise of any sins coming from this place. it's all from you. I was watching the Jimmy Savile documentary. I probably need to cut this bit. But I feel like I'm sort of doing my explanation in a bit of a Jimmy Savile way. Like, oh, David's got some chains attached to him. I did think it was a very powerful
The Steve Coogan.
Steve Coogan, exactly.
I couldn't quite watch it all. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He was very good.
He was very good. And Jimmy Savile is even more monstrous and disgusting.
Oh, he's vile.
Than we could ever have imagined. He's horrible. He's absolutely horrible person on every level.
But
Coogan's performance was quite good,
yeah,
I thought.
Very much so. Very good. Mm. He is a very good actor when he gets down to it.
And I think there was bits of levity in that, which actually, I think you actually needed, there was some sort of comic moments. I think you needed those a little bit as well. Otherwise, it would have just been unwatchable.
So who are you thinking of haunting?
That's a very... you know when Father Ted makes that list?
Yes. Of,
he goes like, and now arseholes. the list would be quite long.
Extensive.
I would say number one on the list would be all the people that have not commissioned shows.
And never will now you're
artists,
dead.
Yeah, by you or I or us together. And exactly, that one dead, there's obviously no chance of any of that happening. So I think they would be at the top of the list. But also, you know, bad people like dictators and...
Oh, right.
You know, those kind of things.
I think you're just saying that. I don't think you would do that. To look good posthumously,
yes,
you're saying, oh, I'd go after the bad.
Yeah, the
I don't
bad
think
people.
You would.
No.
I think you'd go for really the petty ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody who...
The people that piss me off.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody who like took a parking space once from you or something.
Right.
You'd be like, I'm getting you when I'm dead.
Yeah. And on the subject of parking, 2 months ago, when it was bonfire night...
Yes.
And we were doing the thing at Mac, Brum on the Box.
With Shazia Mirza.
Me and Master Chef, famous comedian
Shazia Mirza, and formerly alive wannabe comedian Chris Beanland.
And failed author Chris Beanland.
Failed author, thank you for mentioning the F word again, David. It was very big parking problems.
Yeah.
You couldn't get into your own place of work.
I know, well, that is the problem. It's one of the reasons it led to my death. I was so stressed. Well,
that was the night it happened.
Well, yeah, I mean,
wasn't it?
It wasn't the night. Okay, it led. Right. I was taken ill.
So it started the sequence of events.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it led. So here we are.
And in fact, the lack of I don't know if I mentioned that the lack of audience at that event was actually one of the things that contributed to my death, because I felt like I'd failed. Shazia Mirza, who is lest we forget, Shazia might be listening. Star of the podcast, which is you know, a much better version of the podcast than you and I speaking, because obviously she's a professional, she's been on TV. Shazia Mirza, very famous comedian who can sell out the Birmingham Hippodrome, places like that, faced with a crowd of 8 people. I felt quite embarrassed that there wasn't enough people, and that, in fact, David's covering his mouth, and rightly so. And that then led. That began the sequence of events that led to my death. I was so ashamed and embarrassed that I felt there was only one way out.
Yeah.
I follow the Japanese law of honour.
Seppuku, is it?
Seppuku, exactly. I felt Shazia, the day after that event, Shazia actually emailed me. So again, remember 2 months back, but plus one day, she messaged me. Chris, it was really great, but I was very... very kind of upset and unhappy, actually, that there were so few people. I'd driven all the way from London. Why was there only 8 people?
Did you not do any marketing or anything?
How did this happen?
It's a Saturday night.
It's Saturday night in Birmingham. How did it happen? And I felt so ashamed, embarrassed. The next day, day when I read that email, that I felt I had to take the only way out that I could imagine doing. And I decided to slay myself in order to, appease everything, appease everyone, and
basically, you died of shame, which I feel.
I died of shame.
You know, first time I met you, I probably how's that man going to die? I would have said
shame.
Probably of shame.
Yeah, and actually, considering I've been doing some stand-up comedy recently, I've also been dying of shame in kind of more metaphorical and less lyrical ways. But people obviously won't have to endure any more of that now, because I can't posthumously perform
stand-up
comedy. Only, like, because we're just sort of ghosts in the ether, we can do a podcast, but...
Well, so this stand-up comedy went before you died.
Mm.
I mean, obviously you died a few times on stage.
But that's the point.
But
it's very, very many times.
How, you know, give us a little bit of that. Come on, give us some of your...
joke.
Yeah, but the funny stuff you say on stage.
The problem is that
I... You know, going, oh, look at me, please make me... Please make me feel less ashamed.
Oh, you were at my gig the other night.
Feel the hole inside my soul.
Yeah.
And laugh at me.
That's basically it.
Yeah,
And I think when I do that material, when I did that material, obviously past tense, that got some laughs.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is, when I was trying to do the material that I'd written about things like Telly Savalas looks at Birmingham... It didn't go down very well.
No.
As you could have predicted. I think me talking in London about Birmingham, Brutalist Architecture, Telly Savalas.
Yeah.
It's not...
It's too niche.
It's too niche.
Yeah.
Too niche.
I mean, you love it, and I get that.
I wouldn't say love.
Well, you do talk about it a lot.
Oh, I mean, those things. Yeah, I thought
Telly
you
were
stand-up comedy.
No, Savalas. No. But Telly Savalas, you bloody love.
Very much so.
And especially his story about seeing a ghost, which, you know, ties in nicely with us now that we're dead.
Now, that's almost as if we wrote this, because that is a very good point. Telly Savalas believes in ghosts, and there is a ghost story program where he talks about seeing a ghost. And in fact, a ghost gave him a lift. He believes that a ghost gave him a lift. He'd been on a date in Brooklyn. His car ran out of petrol, or gas, as they say in America, and a ghost in a car picked him up. Then, do you remember what kind of voice the ghost had in that story?
It was something like, "Oh, Telly," something like that.
David is exactly right. Telly Savalas describes the ghost as having a very high-pitched voice, and then he impersonates it. The ghost says, "Hi, Telly, I'll drive you home."
Very kind ghost.
A very kind, a very strange ghost.
Now, hold on, was it a ghost car?
No, real car.
Well, hold on.
But driven by a ghost.
Okay, so where did he get the car? Where did the ghost get the car from?
Exactly. And I'm also thinking now, I didn't know what... And now we're both dead. I didn't know what we could do. But it seems like now there are actually more avenues open to us than I first thought.
Oh, okay.
We could go and steal a car.
We could.
We're mostly, you know, people steal cars here
all the time.
Yeah, we could steal a car. And, you know, go joyriding, which is basically what Birmingham people do.
Yep.
So
for fun.
That could be, after we've done this podcast, we could do that.
Yeah.
And because it's Christmas, we could steal the car, but we could deliver presents to children on this Christmas Eve night.
Well, so hold on. No, but the presents are real. They're not ghost presents.
They're real presents.
Okay. And a real car. I don't want to disappoint the children and deliver them what it's sort of like thin air, really, and they're like, "Oh, this toy is great."
just air.
It just disappears.
It just disappears. Exactly. Here's your new Lego.
Yeah,
you're sort of like,
so you, you become a really bad ghost if you do that.
Yeah, no, it'd be real things. And in fact, all the child would see is the present sort of levitating into the house, and they would think. They would probably have some kind of breakdown. Yeah. They would be very scared.
But they would get a present out of it.
They would get a present, and we could tell them Santa Claus was an invisible ghost or something.
Right,
like that.
Okay. So, that's definitely a really good way not to mess up your children.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I mean, how many children are we doing this for? Because there are a lot of children.
All the children in Birmingham,
that's a lot. That's
so
a
there's
lot.
A million people here. I would guess that means 100,000 children?
Is that how? I don't know. I have no clue.
100,000 children. So we will deliver, as ghosts, we'll deliver a present, one present to each of those children. As we all know, Birmingham City Council has gone broke. I think the schools have closed down here. kids don't really have much to look forward to in this city. Look at it.
What are you talking about? This delightful graveyard on a crisp. Wintry Eve.
Crisp Wintry Eve. New Year's Eve. Christmas Eve. You're going a bit Jimmy Savile again. Christmas Eve night. But, you know, we could have made up that we're in a graveyard. We're not in a graveyard. I wish people could see. They're real graves. It's spooky as hell,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, it is. Should we have a little
Yeah, let's walk around. Let's walk around. We're probably going to get mugged in the graveyard or something.
Well, not as ghosts.
Well, that's true, because we could just, like, disappear into the ether.
Yeah, we can. See, things have changed now.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot for the better.
Wouldn't it be funny if the police thought we were up to no good? Like, oh, what are you guys doing? A drug deal? Are you doing something we shouldn't be doing? No, we're just recording a podcast.
Yeah. Two ghosts recording a podcast.
We're two ghosts recording a podcast. But It's Christmas Eve night in Moseley. Why are you in the churchyard recording a podcast?
And it's not a podcast, though. It's a podcast.
Podcast.
Like that? Do you want to put that in your stand-up routine?
That's a very funny thing to say. Podcast.
We can see over there some rooms. Yeah, we can see right into the houses.
Yeah.
What's going on over there, do you think?
It's just people preparing for Christmas, isn't it?
Oh, of course, yes.
Yeah, they're just...
That's right.
Hanging...
The decorations.
Exactly. Preparing tomorrow's Christmas feast of turkey.
Now, if we go over here, let's have a look at this.
There's a graveyard.
There's a bit of information.
Okay, an information sign. Let's see what it says.
I'll get my ghost phone out.
We looked for... Okay, St. Mary's Churchyard. I can't even speak tonight. Probably because I'm a ghost. A quiet sacred space in the heart of Moseley. So St. Mary's Churchyard Park.
Over 9,400 people are buried here. 9,402 now.
9,402. We're going to climb back into our graves after the podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's...
Hold on. 1981, isn't that the year you were born?
It is. That's exactly the year.
As you explore, you might spot a few burials after 1981 into existing plots.
Well, there you go.
Well, that's really interesting. David, born in 1981, died 2023. What does this turtle say?
The turtle says, "Can you find me in the churchyard?" No.
It's a turtle.
This is a turtle.
A comic, a cartoon turtle who apparently is on a graveyard.
Oh, there you go. Little turtle hunt for the kids in the graveyard.
It's very dark. It's probably the most haunted place I've ever been to. I mean, we are ghosts, but David, do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in us? Do you believe in us?
When I was alive, I never believed in us, so it's not going to change when we're dead.
I want to watch that Enfield Poltergeist
program. Well, of course, the original one that sort of was based on that was Ghost Watch, which I was...
We're big fans of Ghost Watch.
Genuinely freaked me out as a child. I was...
Yep.
Mr. Pipes.
Pipes.
Oh, my goodness. And
I've since
met the director, Leslie, and the writer, Stephen. And they are lovely people. But, you know, I still have that mental scar in my brain from that. And then, yes, they've since done numerous things. The Conjuring 2 was based on it.
Yeah.
They've done documentaries and all kinds of stuff.
Ghostwatch is an absolute classic, if you've not seen it. It purports to be a documentary, and it looks real because it's got Michael Parkinson,
Craig Charles,
Mike Smith,
yeah,
and Sarah Green presenting it, who were all very big stars at the time on BBC TV. It starts off looking like a real documentary, and... It's not. It's fake. Mm. And it's very powerful, isn't it? Very
absolutely.
Upsetting. I was traumatised by it.
Yeah. I mean, by the end, it becomes ridiculous. But in the early stages, it's genuinely quite upsetting.
Exactly.
And
that's actually what we base this podcast on. It purports to be a genuine podcast.
Yeah, but actually
it's completely fake. Everything's completely fake. And then at the end, it's... very traumatizing, and everyone has a breakdown.
Well, let's have a here's a good question for you. Now that you're dead, and of course, you can now record all kinds of park date podcasts with dead people. So, who are you going to choose?
This is a very, very good question.
Yeah, there's all kinds of people you could suddenly meet.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
this is a very good question.
Wander around a park, chatting away about nothing.
2 months ago, at Brum on the Box with Shazia Mirza, one of the things we showed was Bill Hicks talking on Pebble Mill. I think dead Bill Hicks would be a great person to talk to.
Yeah.
Judy Spires did an absolutely appalling... Sorry, Judy, if you're listening, but did an appalling job of interviewing Bill Hicks on Pebble Mill. Did not know what she was letting herself in for. Yeah, talking about at all. Was asking him if he wrote his material or he just made it all up on stage, which is a kind of like interview 101 question to ask a stand-up.
What was his reaction to that?
He seemed very... I said this after 2 months ago, after we showed it. I said, Judy Spires didn't know. It looked like she didn't know why she was there. Bill Hicks looked like he didn't know why he was there. The entire audience looked like they didn't know why they were there. Bill Hicks was like, why am I here in Birmingham on a daytime talk show where I've been told to be clean, being interviewed by this quite strange woman who looks like she's out of a Marks and Spencer's commercial.
And doesn't know who he is.
Doesn't have the foggiest who he is. Name drops one of his albums to prove that she's done her research, but has basically never seen him before. Doesn't really know what he's doing. But I think that would be a good one. That would be a good one. Who else would be good?
Oh, I don't know. Let's have a think. Who's passed away recently? Anyone recently we could get nice and fresh? I can't think of anyone. You know, Michael Gambon? No.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
That would be. Gosh. I've completely lost this person. It was a big one.
Who is it?
It was a big one. It was a big death. And I haven't got it. It's gone. Who was it?
Or is it really recent?
Yeah, pretty recent.
An actor? Showbiz? Comedian?
Matthew Perry. Of course!
I think what's notable about Matthew Perry is that I have not read anyone saying anything negative.
They've all said really nice things about him.
Everyone said really nice things about him. It seems to me...
Which is incredible.
It's right, because... He was an addict.
Yeah.
He's obviously like had a chaotic life, and yet a lot of people seem to have a lot of time for him. He seems like he's touched people in a lot of like positive ways.
Yeah.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Have you seen that awful interview with Peter Hitchens? Is that who it is? they're talking about addiction. Is it
right.
Peter?
Right.
I think it is. And Peter, he's the absolute He's one of the worst people I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. He is appalling.
Yeah.
He just sits there going, I know you're wrong and I'm right. And this is, and he can't take jokes. He's like, oh, you can't debate seriously. You can't debate. It's just like, oh my God, calm down, mate. He is a monster.
Yeah.
And so Matthew Perry comes out.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for listening.
Oh, is he next on the podcast?
Yeah. We'll go and haunt him after this.
Why not? I think, you know, you see Matthew Perry there and you think, yes, he's a man who's been through a lot. And he was clearly trying to give back. And that was nice to see, actually.
Yeah, I didn't realise to what extent he was doing that. But yeah, it's very, very notable, all the tributes to him. Did you watch the Friends reunion? That was a car crash, wasn't it?
James Corden.
I was going to say, you're a noted fan of James Corden, aren't you? Matthew Perry, everyone seems to like James Corden. He doesn't seem to have that many fans, does he?
I haven't heard many good things
about
him.
Doesn't have many fans, but that Friends reunion. I mean, Matthew Perry, I don't think he should have been on it.
No.
He didn't look well.
No.
It was probably a bad idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
To have had him on that, I think.
Yeah. Well, we're just waiting for the Gangsters reunion, aren't we?
The Gangsters.
The BBC.
Right, exactly.
Birmingham. Drama.
Gangsters being one of the best shows that has ever been made. And 2 months ago, again, we showed the end of Gangsters. David, it was so nice of you to buy those DVDs from the shop. You didn't even shoplift them.
No,
you
actually paid for them
for once.
Yeah.
Normally it's just up the shirt, isn't it? We've all been there.
I stole VHS tapes when I was a kid.
Are you sure you want to admit that on the podcast?
I genuinely did.
Well, I guess you're dead now.
I'm dead. They can't get
try
me.
And cuff you. You're a ghost. They can't.
But yeah, oh, I got away with it. I got loads. Seriously. This is not me making this up. I was a bit of a klepto.
Which VHSs did you nick?
Gosh, there was some Star Trek in there.
Right.
Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
There was a whole series of those. What else did I steal? I can't remember. I think there was around that time that... fair bit of sci-fi.
What's it?
Yeah. I don't know why I started stealing it.
Yeah.
My parents never found out, so let's...
So, hello, Mr. and Mrs. Baldwin.
Your deceased son.
Your deceased son.
Has admitted.
Was also a thief.
A thief, yes.
Was it always from... We probably shouldn't go into details, but was it always from the Solihull branch of W.H. Smith's, or was it... Mel Square.
Yeah. In that vicinity. Yeah.
I never knew that. That's so funny.
So there's a little... well, now I'm dead. You can let it go.
Everyone nicks things when they're a kid. I remember... did you have like a language exchange? Did you ever go to France?
Yes, they were. They did have one.
Did they do that in your school?
My sister did one.
Right, where did your sister go?
Somewhere in France, but I can't remember where.
And when the French students came to Solihull, did they absolutely rinse the makeup and clothes sections of shops like Topshop in Solihull? I'm sure they did.
I have no idea. Are you suggesting that the French are typically look for a five-finger discount?
I think it's teenagers. I think that's the thing.
Right.
Because certainly when I went to France on a French exchange and then the French came to our town, and let's just say boots got very heavily done over by those Marseille teenagers to the extent that I think it maybe made it into the Lin News, the local paper. I think
I think the
Spaniards from Utiel, a town near Valencia, when they came over, I think they were even worse. I think they emptied Topshop of all their lipsticks, handbags.
Well, this is
jeans.
Why Brexit happened. This is why. Because we were just fed up of the teenagers coming over on their exchange and just
shoplifting.
Stealing things.
Yeah, I wonder if that still happens. I don't know. I actually read that shoplifting's got a lot worse. I think people just go into Tesco's now and literally just take out what they want.
Yeah.
I think it's shoplifting's got out of control.
I used to, when I was still alive, I used to buy socks for my kids. And when I was going through, people would just rip out the socks, so there'd be one sock left. So they'd take one sock and leave the other one.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Very strange.
How are your children going to cope with that father now?
I mean, it's not going to be fun
yeah.
for them, I'll be honest. I'm trying not to think about it, because if I do, I'll fall into a pit of despair. So, yeah. And that's not what this podcast is all about.
No, exactly.
It's about fun. It's about good times.
Uplifting. It's Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. There are a lovely time.
There are two little boys in Birmingham who are about to have Christmas without their dad for the first time.
But I'll be watching on. Delivering an invisible Santa present.
But like, Mummy, I'm scared. There's some kind of presence in the corner.
Don't worry, that's only your dad skulking in the corner.
Exactly.
Yeah, he used to do that when he was alive.
But to be fair, I think it's probably a lot better that they ended up just with their mum than just with their dad. If it was to be the opposite way around, I think they'll grow up a lot more... rounded.
Of the two options.
The two options.
Yeah.
That's definitely the better one.
I mean, I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
So.
But it's. I think it's freeing to be dead now. I feel like, you know, I don't have to worry about the tax, you know, paying tax in January. Yeah. I don't have to worry. There's so many things that I have to worry about. It's just easy.
And when this podcast is done, you can just sort of float into the sky.
Just float into the sky, exactly. You know, no need to worry about earthly problems like getting the bus
or taxi,
exactly.
Oh, I'm past my bedtime, and
there
is no bedtime, and there's no rest
exactly
for us anymore.
I think one thing, here's something I'm interested in. Like, obviously, we talk every year about, and you know, we will do, even though we're dead, we'll still keep talking about, you know, writing this sitcom that's going to be made someday. Do you think it's going to be more difficult now we're dead to get it commissioned?
I think it's a good selling point. It's the first sitcom written by ghosts.
Exactly. Maybe that's a diversity box that's not been ticked.
Oh, you know what? That's a big old tick.
Dead people.
We are white males, though, and we're both straight.
I think the problem is all ghosts are white, aren't they?
That's a fair point.
Part of the problem. I think maybe ghosts need to take a lesson in diversity.
Yeah, maybe they
do. Too many white ghosts.
Maybe that's what we're here. We're here for. We're gonna. Yeah. Diversify things
exactly
by setting up some kind of box ticking exercise.
They say there's too many white men. There's too many white ghosts.
Yeah, exactly.
I think ghosts need more diversity. But I think maybe it could help. Maybe we could write a ghost sitcom. I mean, you know, some of the stuff that you've written about, actually, were there ghosts in?
There was a vampire one.
It was a vampire, yes, exactly.
And of course, I remember the Rent-A-Ghost was a classic.
Rent-A-Ghost, a brilliant, brilliant children's show.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, there is, there's a history of it. Mm-hmm. Even Ghosts, the recent BBC, which has run for, four or five series, hasn't it? Even though it's middling at best. It doesn't make me laugh.
No,
it's nice. It's nice comedy, isn't it?
I mean, that's what always gets commissioned now, isn't it? There's just not enough laughs.
No, exactly.
You know, and
you don't need laughs anymore.
Right, as our podcast and my stand-up.
Absolutely.
As my stand-up comedy also proves. My experiment in stand-up comedy, can you do comedy that's like doesn't have laughs because you're talking about Birmingham and Breaches Buildings, but... Yes, laughs are important, and
laughs are important.
I think, I don't know, maybe our new dead position in life will help us to sort of get to the nub of more laughs in a way. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. Like, I don't know. Maybe we'll find some kind of, we'll see something we didn't see when we were alive. We'll get some kind of spiritual awakening, literally, because now we're spirits.
Yeah.
So that's, we can only hope.
Exactly.
It'd be nice.
Exactly. And, it's kind of sad as well. I don't know if I even told you this, David, but I'm just boasting now, but the podcast got nominated for two awards.
Oh.
Quite unbelievably.
Amazing.
When that notification came in, I thought there really must be some mistake here because this is really a half-assed effort that's only been going a year. And actually, one of the clips that I submitted was our podcast of talking about King Kong. So that has contributed
amazing
to obviously it didn't win, but the success.
Oh, we didn't win.
No, obviously not. But shortlisted.
Okay, well that's great.
For best comedy.
Who were you up against?
Gosh, I should remember the names of.
You didn't even look, did you?
There were some quite big names. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Right.
They were all great, and you should listen to all of them.
Yeah.
I'll put the links up. No, I can't now.
No, you can't.
I'm dead. How can I type?
I can, exactly.
Yeah.
You'll have to whisper it to someone's ear.
I will. Exactly. If you want to know the names of the other podcasts, just say, and I'll come and haunt you.
And then whisper in, and then make you type it onto a screen. So that's that's lovely.
But it is sad because, you know, maybe this could have gone somewhere. Certainly never been nominated for an award before.
No.
And now never will be again.
Did you go to a swanky award ceremony, or was it an online affair?
No, there was a real award ceremony, and it was quite a lavish do. But yes, no actual gong, but a shortlisting is, you know, all you can really hope for. But maybe if there's a posthumous podcast awards next year.
Well, I'll tell you what, sympathy though, the sympathy vote, right?
Yes.
And things sell better when you're dead. We know that. You know, when musicians die, suddenly they're, oh gosh, we loved you and we never appreciated you. So perhaps that will happen with you.
What David has just hit on an amazing, it's probably the most prescient and clever thing that David has actually ever said.
Well,
because
I've said clever thing, more clever thing.
You're right. Dying is the very best thing you can do for your career. So in a way, us dying, you know, this could lead to us, you know, the brilliant scripts that you wrote and the okay scripts that I wrote could now be discovered.
Yes.
People will put them, you know, on TV and will be like, oh, these guys were actually amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, dying is the best thing you can do. I worked in HMV. We'll finish in a minute, but a finishing thought. I worked in HMV when I was young. We were plagued by a lot of shoplifters. I wonder if one of them was yourself, David.
Perhaps.
But every time, it was very macabre. Every time someone died, there would be a meeting the next day, and head office would arrange for a what is it called, like a display to be set up, and a lot of that person's product, as it was called,
would sell.
Yeah, would be ordered in. I want to say Frank Sinatra died when I was working there, but I might be misremembering that. Do you remember when he died? That might be completely
90s,
untrue.
Maybe?
Yeah, because this was in like 97. Did he die in 97?
Possibly not.
And that might be wrong. I'll have to check it, but I certainly remember there was occasions where people died, all their products would be ordered in, and it would sell by the truckload.
Yeah.
So basically,
this is what's going to happen with you now. They're going to find all your podcasts and be like,
"Yeah,
God, this wasn't just a man just blathering on about nothing to no one. It was special,
right?
It was special,
right? And maybe when Brum on the Box is on next year, obviously I can't present it because I'm dead, but Shazia. Probably best if she does it by herself. She's the famous comedian. Yeah. She's the star.
Yeah.
It will sell out. But maybe part of that will be people will say, "Oh, you know, Chris was like partially involved in it, so we'll go along."
Yeah.
And
I think also in memoriam of you, of course.
In memoriam, exactly. And I think David, your sitcoms, I have no doubt now they will all be picked up by a network, as they say in America.
Ah, yes, they do say that. Yeah. That's exactly what they say.
Yeah. So I was going to finish on this. No, I was going to finish on the note of saying, maybe if you want your career to do better, you should kill yourself. Actually,
Merry
please
Christmas.
Don't.
Merry Christmas.
Please don't. Let's walk. Please don't do that.
No, please don't.
But don't do that.
But now,
Christmas. Life is important, and life is short, and our lives have ended.
Yeah, and
it's no laughing matter. You know, death is not funny, and you should embrace life. Definitely, if you're feeling sad, go and. Don't do
what you did, which is commit seppuku.
Exactly.
So don't do that.
I shouldn't even make light of it, really.
Which is almost quite childish, really, what you did there.
Just, it was.
It was, just because you. But a few people didn't turn
but
up to
the
your comedy.
Shame, David, the shame and embarrassment
so
that I
much.
Felt 2 months ago of no one turning up.
It's very fresh, isn't it, in your
and
mind?
Then, very fresh in my mind. And then, as I said, 2 months. And then one day later, when I received the email from Shazia telling me how upset and sad she was that there was no one there, slash angry, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And the lack of promotion that she'd come all the way. You know, I felt there was no other option.
Well, I think now's the time for you to float away into the sky, really.
I think we're going to float away into the sky, so we'll say Merry Christmas. You need to go and see your your children. I hope they're not crying too much.
So do I.
And we'll both float off into the sky. Did that sound like floating? Ho, 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 lo. You'll know by now that neither me nor David is actually dead. It was all a ruse. So, I hope you enjoyed our Christmas podcast. Do have a great Christmas with your nearest and dearest. And if you're alone, well, I feel very sorry for you. Go and find some solace with supermarket workers, I find. If I'm lonely, that works very, very well. Just talk to the people in M&S Simply Food. They're always very, very friendly, especially in the Dalston branch. Have a great time, and don't forget to leave us a review and follow us on socials at Park Day Podcast, and listen next year for more of the same. Coming up on Park Date next year, I'll be interviewing the first seal in space. How was the mission? And how did you get back to Earth? All of that and more on Park Date in 2024. So stupid. Why do I do these things?